The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
It's 9:30 now this Tuesday morning. Great to have you with us. 51551 is the text number. Mike O'Donnell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Good, thank you. I was just intrigued about this idea of sketching in court and what have you. So would you take us back a little bit to your first sketches? When did you first realise that you were useful enough with a pen and paper?
I guess when I was very young, my dad was a very good artist, amateur. So I used to, he was a complete artist, so I used to constantly watch what he used to do. And at home, I had two great brothers, and they used to spend their time playing football with myself. So any time I tried to sketch them, they were gone playing football outside for, you know. So then it occurred to me to maybe sketch people at mass, and that was a no-no. I'd be killed. So
did you try it? So did you try sketching people at mass?
No, it kind of entered my head. And then it eventually occurred to me, maybe when I was 11 or 12, to go to the court. And why not? Because people would sit there and not move, you know? So I just wander in on early summer holidays and see what was going on. And I found people sitting there. And then I started sketching, and that was the beginning of it.
Yeah. And were you fascinated by the courts and the judicial system, or was it purely about faces and portraiture?
Well, I suppose, you know, we used to watch Kojak and all these kind of things. So I suppose these things, wherever there's murder and intrigue and scandal, that's of interest to everybody, I
of
suppose.
Course. But, why is photography banned from courts and portraiture isn't?
Well, in Ireland, I think it originates in England, actually, when they started bringing in photography, I think in the late, maybe 1919, 1920, around that time, and murder trials in London were kind of sensationalised a bit, where you had maybe in the front of the, whatever, newspaper, you might have had a murder trial going on. I think maybe people felt it was a little bit not appropriate, so they banned all image taking in England to this day. And I think that kind of extended to Ireland. Whether we're under their jurisdiction at that particular time, I'm not sure, but certainly there's no photography is the practice here. Whether it is the law, I don't know, but I'm very lucky that, for example, like any court artist, I can go in and at the judge's mercy, of course, and sketch the accused. So that's fascinating for
me. Of course. And tell me about that, Mike, in terms of the your first case or two, where and how it works. It's up to the judge, is it? The presiding judge decides if somebody can sketch or not?
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
So when my first case, I remember back in late 2009, early 2009, I can't remember, it was 2009 anyway. There was an infamous case, I suppose, of Eamon Lilith, and I happened to be, an old man's land in my career, just for a few months, and I was training for my triathlon, and I got knocked down, and I remember literally counting my limbs, 1, 2, 3, 4, so I said, oh, fine, I must kind of do something that I really love, and this was my drawing. So I remember arriving up at the... I made a few inquiries. I had a few friends, and I suppose in different spheres, and they were saying, go ahead and try it, because the CCJ had just opened at the time. And if you remember back, TV news reports would show people, say, on remand, leaving prison vans, going into courts. And that was a spectacle in itself. But that disappeared when the CCJ, Court of Criminal Justice, opened in 2009. Mm. And so I remember I woke up one morning listening to a report on Morning Ireland, I think, saying that photography would now, that kind of photography, a film, would not be possible anymore. I said, that's great, because that's an opportunity for sketch art, you know. So, and I just absolutely love it. So I went up, and I remember the bandages were in my hand at that time.
Yeah.
And I found my work being published straight away. So that was the beginning, and it was an extraordinary. I was just very, very very blessed.
So do you have a particular spot in the court that you like to sit in?
I do. Now, things have changed with COVID because things are more spread out. So
yeah. Pre-COVID, really.
Yeah, pre-COVID. Yeah. So yeah, I do. It's right as close as possible to the accused, and it's right behind where the junior counsel would sit. So to be at the end of the bench where journalists would sit. So that's where I like to preside.
And when somebody, the accused, sits down, I presume they're a bit jittery and they mightn't be quite settled. So when do you start? What's your optimum moment to go, now yeah. I can start?
Yeah, so it generally, like, I leave them relax and then I'll strike, you know. So the hardened, say, accused, let's say,
yeah,
is well used to the whole setup and scenario of court. So they get into their comfortable zone or resting position very quickly, whereas the people who are not so used to the courts would take time to relax and look around and see where, I suppose, find their bearings, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, and then, you know, they generally are very easy to sketch because they still, basically. There's not too many moving parts.
Yeah, I understand. Do they ever get freaked out by you looking up, looking down, sketching up, down? Yeah, do they ever kind of look at you as if to say, what are you at?
I've had some of that. I remember I went into court last October. There were two, without specifying the case, there were two individuals on trial for rape, and there was an interpreter between them. So they immediately covered their faces, and I was very amused by this, of course, and drew what I could see. And they were, you know, during the course of that particular afternoon, they were revealing their heads, their faces, bit by bit. But I was more amused than anything else, and just went on to another case. But I had an experience early on where an accused during a break or recess, I suppose the jury had gone out, and there was a bit of a break, who came down and sat beside me. I was going through my work, and I had another case where, for example, a person on trial for murder who's hopefully convicted, who was on bail, came up and said, "Geez, that's my picture there now. It was really funny, you know."
Yeah, so they're kind of analysing your interpretation of their faces.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah,
and when you saw, did you sketch the Catherine Evan in her case?
I did, yeah.
And again, with somebody like her, she was a kind of iconic face after the event because we kept seeing her in the papers and what have you. But tell me about sketching her.
So I sketched her during the course of her appeal, and it was during two days. So somebody told me she was up. So I went in and I saw a lady who, you know, she's deceased now, but she was quite disheveled looking. And so I sketched her, and I was very curious about her eyes because somebody told me that she might give you the look, you know. So anyway, I did see these brown, dark, coffee eyes looking at me, and they were cold, but no more than, you know, other people I'd met in my life before, you know. So the following day, when I arrived, she was all dressed up. I think the first day she was late for an appointment or something like that. She had that kind of sense. But anyway, that was Catherine Nevin.
And you're looking at her. Did she remind you of someone?
She reminded me of the mother. I know you're trying to get to the mother of an ex. Yeah. that was that.
Did that make it easier or harder?
I went on to the next case.
Case dismissed. Paul Carney, the judge, Paul Carney, he was a memorable judge for you. Why so?
He was a very, very important character in for many years in my work because he was the judge in the Central Criminal Court, and all the cases were organized, I suppose, by him initially on a Monday, and the court would be teeming. So on one particular infamous trial, a case in Limerick, he I had collected literally hundreds of drawings of barristers and accused and so on. So I had an exhibition organised, but I in the law library, I think in got to do with the barristers. So anyway, I had nobody to open it. No, I wasn't too well. Jimmy Dean in our local city, where he was Minister for Arts at the time, I wanted him to open, but I had a I'd asked Brendan Graham, and Brendan Graham said, who's famous prosecutor, he said, why don't you ask the man himself, who's Judge Carney? So, I mean, I don't have his telephone number. I couldn't knock on his door and like that. So I sent a message up to his lovely tip staff who helps him during the course of this trial, a very, very tense trial. That was the only way to contact him. So I sent a note up, and you can imagine how the tension was like riveting on this particular morning. A very, very serious trial. And so the tip staff immediately brought the little note, which was scribbled, over to Judge Carney, and he attended to it straight away and started writing a little note. And I remember the prosecuting counsel was on his feet at the time and stopped. And Judge Carney finished the note, handed it to the tip staff, who walked down and gave it to me. And there was utter silence in the court, and I opened it, and it said, "Dear Mr. O'Donnell, unfortunately, I'm away in Budapest on that weekend. Thank you, Paul." So, and then they had to rejig themselves and get back to normal. So that was kind of funny.
But it's such as the peculiar nature of the drug. Do you use particular pens or?
Well, if you ask me now, I'd use any pen that I could find or that I could remember. But generally, I'd use pens like I wouldn't order them on the internet. I'd try and get them where I travelled, like in Prague or where I was in Belgrade not too long ago. And they do. I like to just try these special pens. But they don't aid the process. I suppose they make the process a bit more interesting for me. That's all.
We asked you to do a sketch for us, and you did a beautiful job on it. It was we sent you a picture of it was me interviewing Barry Keoghan and Niamh Alger on the Late Late Show, and we asked you to kind of court sketchify it, which I put up on Instagram this morning. We'll put it up on our Facebook page because you just gave it that look that we are also familiar with from the court. You say that if you get the eyes right, then everything else falls into place. Is that right?
I think so. I suppose faces are my thing, but the eyes would be the main players on the face. So if you don't get the face, or if you don't get the eyes, you're kind of snookered. So they would be the main concentration. But, you know, they say, who was it? Duncan in that Scottish place said, like, there's no art to find the mind's construction in the face, so you can't really, even though you might get the face, you mightn't get the character. So it's kind of a complex game, but it's fun, you know, definitely.
Do you find yourself, do you ever take sides? Do you find yourself looking at the face and saying, that person, that accused person looks innocent, or that victim looks, you know, like they might be lying, or do you get involved in that, or are you just completely committed to the art?
Yeah, I go in completely committed to the art, and I try and study the shapes in front of me. But I think if you're too absorbed by that, you won't get the personality. But I do feel, I suppose because I'm looking at them all the time, I can't help empathizing in some way. It's mostly the accused that I draw, and sometimes I do a court scene that might include the witnesses and so on. But I often find myself, I suppose because I'm human, maybe empathizing with the perpetrator or alleged perpetrator. But having said that, all these cases are very sad, and you know, they kind of reveal the barbarity and cruelty of human nature.
Do you think you've ever seen evil in the eyes you've sketched?
I'm not a kind of an artist of the psyche, really. But I think I probably did, but
I'm not asking her for names, obviously.
No.
No, but I remember talking to a judge when we were in Henrietta Street, and she said that she saw pure evil in you come before her. You know, I just think that's very, very striking. And I was wondering, and she's obviously, she was looking at them come and go and what have you. Whereas you, as an artist, you're seeing, you've just got different eyes on the case. Somebody wants to know, can you ask Mike, who's the sad, can you remember the saddest person you draw? Again, no names, but can you remember the saddest person?
Oh, the saddest person.
That's a tough question now, but to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
But we come back to that if you think about it. But it was Judge Gillian Hussey I was referencing there a minute ago.
Right.
I believe in England and Wales, says Steve in Wexford, sketching in the court is not permitted because, and that sketches have to be done from memory, which is pretty tricky. And another says photography is not allowed in court to protect the anonymity of the judges and save them from revenge for harsh sentences, which is why they first started wearing wigs, apparently. That's interesting.
Okay.
Mike, I sat beside Mike, says Enda Kilgallen, in primary school, and he was my best first friend. He was a brilliant painter, and every year there was the Kingdom County Fair drawing competition, and he won it. I remember we were 10 years old, and he painted an amazing show jumper and horse jumping the wall at the RDS, and I used to submit my matchstick drawings. I never deluded myself regarding the lack of drawing ability. Mike also paints incredible murals on the walls of shops, etc. in Tralee. He is very talented and was a good footballer in his day. So, gosh, and remembering it. And that lovely mural you did of the famine girl wearing a kind of a COVID PPE mask, that was brilliant.
Oh, that's probably the saddest that I ever drew. Not obviously not in court, but that would be, for me, the most heart-wrenching piece because the little girl died in that spot in Tralee. So I didn't want to have her lying down or something kind of macabre, you know. So she's standing up, kind of hopeful. And that's why she came in. She came in from the country looking for food and there was nothing to be had, so she died in the spot. So for me, she stands for hope, you know.
Mm.
And with the kind of winter and grief and want with the pandemic at the moment, I suppose people might need a bit of hope. You know?
And that's on Denny Street for Seamus in Tralee. Why did you put a mask on her?
I did, I saw it at the time. This was at the beginning of the pandemic, I did, maybe to encourage people, I don't know.
Okay.
I suppose maybe it resonated.
What happens to your sketches, Paula wants to know, after it's all been gone?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I got a box the other day from my daughter. She had a few hundred sketches. Now, not a lot of them. Some of them are sold, others are, you know, media would have them. But and barristers would ask me as well to draw scenes. But my daughter made a box the other day, and it had court work from years ago, and she's heading off to Australia, so she was handing them back. So that was
okay. So they gathered. Do the criminals have the right to ask you to stop drawing? Somebody wants to know.
It never happened.
Mary says, I was the registrar in court for the trial of Eamon Lillis, and I have a copy of one of the sketches done by Mike during that trial. It was a sketch of the judge, the stenographer, and myself, and it's a great image of the three of us. So some people do like to have them and keep them like that. Have you been watching the George Floyd trial, the Derek Chauvin?
Yeah, and I see the images by Miss Rosenberg, forget her first name. They're fantastic and they're dramatic.
Yeah.
And I love them. They're really vibrant, you know.
Yeah.
I have a great friend in the Supreme Court in the US, Arthur Lyon is his name. And he's a really great, I suppose, friend and mentor when it comes to drawing. So we keep in touch. But now I don't know Miss Rosenberg, but she's a superb artist.
But you're impressed by what you're seeing. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mike, it's been great to talk to you. I find it intriguing what you do, and I'm so glad you've completely enlightened me as to the world of the courtroom sketcher. So keep going and good luck with it all.
Thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you, Mike. It's Mike O'Donnell joining us from, I presume he's in Tralee in Kerry this morning. And like I say, his sketches are terrific. I put one up on the one he did of us on the Late Late Show with, as I say, with the gang talking to Barry and Niamh. And it's quite nice on Instagram. You can check that out on Insta Tubridy this morning if you wish. Now at 11 minutes to 10, let's take a break.